Thankful again for the privilege to be together. Thankful, Lord, for blessing our lives together.
Amen.
The joy of salvation and for His blessings on each of us tonight. Thankful, Lord, that we enjoy the hope that we have. And I thought, as Brother Husky mentioned, about it looks like people reading the Bible and just would have to know a little more. But when he mentioned that, I thought of the scripture where it teaches us is hidden from the wise and the prudent, revealed unto babes, revealed unto those that are teachable, and those who are humble. That's how the word of the Lord is revealed. And even to us, as we live for the Lord and as we look into His word, as we look to Him, it says our spirit is humble before the Lord. And I've been impressed with that thought lately. It's not my message tonight, but it's been a thought that I've had of how important it is when considering any point of truth to not try to come to a conclusion in our own self or to our own liking. But we need to prayerfully consider that and with the same movement, so to speak, endeavoring to live closer to the Lord. And every decision we make and every conclusion we come to concerning the Word of the Lord and what it teaches and how it applies to our life, it ought to always draw us closer to the Lord. It ought to make us stronger in the Lord. And if it doesn't do that, then maybe we're not approaching it in the right way. We want to acknowledge again tonight the need of the Holy Spirit. We want to bless His Word. And tonight we'd be real hard-pressed to try to talk about something you never heard about. But I do believe that the Word of the Lord is ever new and it's ever refreshing. And so tonight we want to talk a little bit about our love for the Lord and talk about what it means to us now and what it's going to mean to us at the end of the life's journey. In the first chapter of James, in the 12th verse, says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." In this scripture, we're told that we will have temptation, and that's common to man. Whether people today are not living for the Lord, they have temptation. Maybe of a different nature, but they have temptation. But even after we're saved, we have temptation. We have our troubles. Job said, "Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And so this evening I realize that all of us have temptation. And the enemy, he would seek to tempt us. The Lord, as righteous and as holy as He is and as He was, He also was tempted of the devil. And yet He didn't enter into the temptation. So tonight, all of us have our temptations. Sometimes it's the allurement of the world. The scripture talks about the world, and it talks about love not the world. And so many temptations come that way, through the world, through loving the world or having our affection upon the world or conforming to the world or seeking to identify or to fit in an unrighteous way in the world. And many of our temptations come that way. We have other temptations sometimes through people. You know, sometimes does anyone ever tempt you to become angry or disgusted or unforgiving or not as patient as you ought to be? Well, that's a common temptation too. We all have those temptations sometimes. That's the humanity of us, and that's why we're subject to temptation. And as long as we live, we'll have temptation. But I want to concentrate tonight upon the fact that says that when we are tried, making us to know that the temptations that we face is a process of us being tried. And every one of us are going to be a tried people, individually and as a people. We're going to be tried and we're going to be tested. And that's why the Lord permits us to be tempted. Now, He could, if He so desired, He could just kind of remove us from all the temptation. He just kind of, in His power and His way, I feel like He could deflect or cause it that you would never have much of a temptation, you wouldn't have much trial, and He might be able to control people not to ever cross you or abuse you or do you wrong, and maybe everything that you kind of planned would fall in place. I believe God has that power. But that's not the will of God. The will of God is that we would have temptation. And the purpose of the temptation is to try us. And the purpose of being tried is that we would know where our love is. All of our temptations and how we face them, how we go through them, reflect the quantity and the condition of our love for God. And I'm convinced tonight, according to this word, that when we are tried, we that love Him, and that is manifested in our lives through our trials and through our temptations, we will have a crown of life. And I believe that that's really the only ones that are going to have a crown of life. To those whose love proves true, to those whose love endures all the temptation and all the trials that we meet, be able to respond and be victorious, and that love that we have for God would be unwavering, would not be diminished at all, that it would be faithful and true. They are the people that's going to love the appearing of the Lord and have that assurance in our heart that heaven's our home simply because our love has proved true. You know, really tonight we don't have a whole lot more to give the Lord, do we? We don't have the life or itself that comes to the Lord. We don't have any control of the days of our lives. Some may live in their youth and some to adulthood, and that's all controlled by the Lord. So that's given to Him. We're not responsible how long we live. That's a responsibility of the Lord. And we're not responsible only as to do the best of our knowledge to our health. That's really in the hands of the Lord. He assumes that responsibility. And He grants us our health and our strength and the sound minds that we enjoy and that we're thankful for. That comes from the Lord. The breath comes from the Lord. The material blessings come from the Lord. And so just about everything we have tonight comes from the Lord. And He has assumed the responsibility of that to bestow it on us according to His will and His plan for our lives. But when it comes to our love, He has placed that within our care and our choice and our decision. And therefore, it brings a responsibility to us. And we need to be conscious of that, that according to God's plan, He has placed within each one of us that choice, that responsibility, that I place my affection, that I make my choice of my love. And that's given to me. And that's something that no one else can change. You know, people might sometimes infringe on you. They might take the advantage of you. There have been those that have been persecuted and in prison and separated from family and tortured. But they couldn't touch that person's love. The love comes from within. And that is a place that God has given that you and I have control over. And that we're responsible for. If everyone in the world tonight turned their back on me and cursed me and had nothing to do with me, they still couldn't touch the affection of my heart. That's my responsibility. And the Lord has given that to me. And has given it to you. And the Scripture tells us tonight that when we're tried, when we've met our temptations, when we've had our trials, and all of us do tonight, and as we'd be faithful, He said there's a crown of life to everyone that loves Him. And the love we're talking about tonight is the love that God knows. God looks down and sees. You know, sometimes you may have had a friend or someone that said, you know, oh, I really love you. I really appreciate you. And maybe shortly after that you heard, well, they were kind of talking about you. And really, if that was love, you didn't really want too much of it. And that's the way humans are sometimes. But God, He looks down. I thought also, I think, in Matthew, didn't Jesus say something about the Pharisees? They drew nigh with their mouth and honored Him with their lips, but their heart was far from Him. Now, there are people today that say they love the Lord, but the conduct of their life and their choices and their decisions tells you that their heart really isn't in that. That it's somewhat afar off. And I don't feel like that they're going to enjoy the crown of life. And I don't believe they're going to be able to meet the Lord in peace. Tonight, I believe with all of our heart that every one of us, in an individual way, our love is going to be tested and proven. And when it comes to the end of life's way, there won't be any maybe and maybe not. Either we have made those decisions and we have placed our affection and we've been faithful and true in our love through our temptation. And the Lord will certainly know that we're His and know that we love Him. I thought along this line of how in the Scripture, and we hear messages about it from different times, that we ought not to love the world. You know, that's a challenge to our love tonight. It bids high for people's love and their affection. And the Scripture also talks about the love of money, and the love of money being the root of all evil, and a covetousness. And there are a lot of people, it tells us right there in the Word, there in Timothy, that have erred from the faith and fallen simply because their love was challenged, the temptation was too great, and their affection or their love went out to that. And it hindered them. And in their spiritual life, and perhaps even lost their contact with the Lord because of the love of money. Now, it wasn't money. It didn't say it was money. And we know money is something that's necessary. But when it is presented to us, whether it's a little or whether it's large, and some people have a hard time with just a little. You know, that spirit being covetous and selfish, and they have a hard time with just a little. And so tonight I wouldn't say it was just the amount, but it is where their love is. You see, we receive what the Lord provides to us, and we're stewards of it, but our love is still on Him. And so the Word of the Lord cautions us about the love of money, about loving not the world. Then it says something about lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we live in a time when people's hearts are charged with that. They just looking for things to do just for the pleasure and the desires of the flesh. And their life's pretty well given to that. And we've heard messages that we ought not to give ourselves to the pleasures of this world more than God and God's will. They also says something about pleasures of one's own self. And people that love their own selves. And that also is a challenge to our love to God. And sometimes it hinders people in loving the Lord like they should. And so tonight, we want to emphasize how that we can have victory over all of these things that we often teach and preach and testify that we ought not to do. I think it means more than just saying we shouldn't do them, you know. And I'm going to try to avoid doing it because the preacher or the church said we're not supposed to love the world or we're not supposed to love this or love that. But there is a positive solution or experience that will enable us and give us escape from all the do nots. And that's by placing our love supremely with all of our heart upon the Lord. Yes, and when we do that, that'll take care of all the other. But our love is challenged. It's challenged daily in our life. And the temptations that we meet, and all of us meet them.
Yes, that's
so. You know, all of you have, we all have those times when we have to make decisions and choices. And a lot of times it's just in those daily decisions that we make, choices that we make. And if we're not watchful and prayerful, being that we are in the flesh, we can sometimes favor that which would diminish somewhat the love that we have for God. And that's what our temptations are all about tonight. We are going to be tested. We're going to be tried. And we surely all want to be faithful to the Lord in living for Him. Think of the familiar verse that Jesus gave us in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Just want to mention that as we go on in the lesson. Remember the, wasn't it a lawyer? Yes, a lawyer that was tempting the Lord and asking Him what the great commandment was in the law. And the 37th verse, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And I know tonight you've heard that. You've heard it a number of times, and no doubt have read it a number of times. But we want to ask ourselves tonight, how does that identify with our relationship, our life? We have to be careful because we're human, and it's so easy to get our affections. And I'm not talking on wicked things or things that just be what we call sin in themselves, but things that would just take away from a real fervent, warm love for God. And he said here, Jesus said here, that his commandment or the standard that he wants in our Christian living tonight is to love the Lord supremely. To love the Lord more than we love the world. To love the world more than we love pleasure. To love the Lord more than we love our own self. And you'll find that in your temptations, and when you're tried, you will be making decisions that favor one or the other. See, either the Lord or His way and His truth, you'll yield to that, you'll give to that. Or you sometimes will give to your own self or your own comfort or your own, just your own person. You'll kind of favor that, and many times we'll somewhat justify that. But what we need tonight, and I think we all agree, is that we need a real fervency individually and as a congregation, as a church. We need to have something that is evident, that it's marked in our life, that this is a people that have a real, fervent, earnest love for God, that God is real in their life. And in all of their decisions and all of their plans and their interests and their ambitions, they consider God. God is a big part of their life. We want that to be our testimony to the world tonight. We don't want it to be like religion, where people kind of work God in for insurance plans, you know, or just when they need Him, or just to kind of for an impression. But we want Him to be a real part of our life. Walk with Him, commune with Him, love Him, let Him reveal His way and truth to our heart and life. Loving Him supremely, amen, with all of our heart, soul, and as it says here, mind, and another place, strength. Well, in thinking tonight, how is it that we love the Lord? And I thought of the scripture over here in 1 John. The 4th chapter, in the 19th verse, it says, we love Him because He first loved us. God made it available to us to understand and know love before He really expected us to love Him. We love Him tonight because He first loved us. And I can't do it tonight, but I would that the Lord would reveal to each one of us how much the Lord really loves us. I don't think we're hardly able to comprehend it, how much He really cares and how much He loves us. Every one of us tonight. Did you ever look down, little baby, precious little baby, and your heart just so full of love? Or even a small child, and you know they don't know how much you love them. They don't have the ability to know the great love, the great care, how that you would actually lay down your life. That tie and that love is so real and so great. But they don't know that. Now when they grow to be older, they'll understand it in part. But I'm not sure they ever understand it in fullness. And wonder sometimes if we're a little bit like that with the Lord. If we really fully understand. Sometimes some of us are inclined to be hard on ourselves and to be discouraged with ourselves. And to feel that we're a failure, and feel that we come so short, and feel that we're really not worthy, and I guess we're really not, but He loves us anyway. He really does love us.
Thank the Lord.
I wonder sometimes the Lord is one thing He'd like to get across to us better. I wish my children really knew how much I loved them. And then when temptations came, and when their love was being tried, it'd be so much easier for them to respond to me. You know? They would just, in a way, be drawn to that love that I have for them. And when the enemy would come to seek to allure them with the world or with anything that's displeasing to the Lord, that love would be so great within them that that would give them a strength and a power to turn from the temptation and to lean hard and to love and to care for the one that really loves us. It's really sad tonight, isn't it, when you think of how many people give their affection to the enemy who is set to destroy them, to ruin their lives here. And yet, through His great deceit, He is able to capture their decision, their choice, their love. As children of God in light, we ought to have a real understanding of that and give Him no place in our affections, in our decisions, in our love, knowing that God is the one that truly loves us. In 1 John 3:16, the Scripture says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God," or the love of Christ, is it? Love of God. "Because He laid down His life for us." Or we understand the love of God. Because He gave His life. He laid it down. Now, that's something else you've probably heard a few times. Probably all, even the children, be able to tell us that Jesus died, and that He died on the cross, and that He bore our sins. Wonderful, wonderful truth. But oh, that God would reveal it to our hearts tonight. That He help us to see how much He loved and cared for us, that He was willing to be our substitute. He is willing to take our sins, our transgressions, our guilt, and He bore them, as well as that painful death on the cross, numbered with the transgressors. He humbled Himself, become obedient to that. Scripture says that though He was rich, yet He become poor, that through His poverty we might be rich, or we might have salvation. That's how much He loved us. That's how much He really cared about us tonight.
Thank the Lord.
He suffered for us. In the 5th chapter of Romans, I always enjoy reading there, where it tells us how in the 6th verse, "When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." For all of us tonight, when we were in sin, when we went our own way, we was rebellious, disobedient, living bad lives. And right in that condition, the Lord loved us and was willing to go to the cross, and He's willing to suffer and die. And I often think, I'm just sure tonight the Lord knew that not everyone would accept that sacrifice. He knew it would just be a few, and even for us few tonight, He was willing to go to the cross. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior.
Praise the Lord.
Really was. Don't you love Him tonight? We sing that song, "Savior, more than life to me. Let me love You more and more." Oh, that God would make that love stronger and stronger. In the 8th verse it says, "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
The Lord
gave Himself, and He gave Himself for me. He died for my sins. I was thinking of the love that we had for Him, and I was reminded, even as I came into the chapel, of here in the 7th chapter of Luke, when there was, you remember the woman who was a sinner woman, and she came into the home of a Pharisee, and Jesus being there, and the Pharisee, he didn't quite understand how Jesus didn't know who this woman was. And she was weeping and, I believe, washing his feet. And in the 39th verse, when the Pharisees saw what was taking place, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner." Think about it. And the Lord answering said unto him, remember, he was saying this inside, wasn't he? But the Lord knew it. The Lord was able to read it, and he knew all this man's thoughts. And he said to him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" And I'll have to admit to you, there was a long time that I had a hard time. I didn't understand this lesson the Lord was giving. I knew he didn't advocate that people would go out in deep sin so they could be forgiven and love him more. But I concluded that it is within us individually, recognizing the debt that's been forgiven, the greatness of it. In other words, I never went out and drank. I never went out and stole. I didn't do this and that. But I was lost and undone. I was on my way to hell, and there was no hope for me. And Jesus shed his blood for my sins. He is my only hope, and he saved me. And regardless if there's a lot of things I may not have done, I still was in a terrible lost state, wicked and undeserving. And I believe the Lord, regardless of who we are tonight, he wants us to have that sensitivity. He wants us tonight to recognize that we're righteous, that we're a child of God, we're able to live pure and holy lives, only because of his sacrifice, only because of the forgiveness that he has granted us. It's when people become callous, and when they become a little self-righteous, and they feel like, "I didn't really do all that much," that they really are not in a place of mind and heart to love the Lord like they should. Need to realize that every one of us, regardless of who we are tonight, it was through his mercy, through his love, that we're saved. Right. You say, "Well, you know, I've been saved for 20 years. I've been saved maybe for 30 years. Well, I'm glad. That's wonderful. You know. But it's still the mercy of the Lord. It's the love of the Lord that saved it. It is his love that has kept us saved, that's helped us through life thus far. Now, I wanted to emphasize how much he loved us, because the verse said we love him because he first loved us. And I believe tonight, if we can realize how much he loved us and how much he's done for us, that will enable us to love him more. If we kind of in our minds say, "Well, just take it for granted, he was the Savior, he's the Son of God, and he died that I could be saved," that's good as far as it goes. But we need to keep a real consciousness that without that I would be lost. And my life would be wrecked and ruined. I'd hate to think tonight where I would be had it not been for his saving grace. You might think tonight, "Well, I was a pretty good person anyway." But who knows? We really don't know. We love him tonight because he first loved us. And he certainly proved his love to us in dying for us and saving us. I was thinking of how this love and how people respond to the Lord in this love. In the 34th Psalm and the 18th verse, it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now, I feel like tonight that really people that really are saved give their hearts to the Lord. They do it with godly sorrow, and they do it with a broken and a contrite spirit. And one of the definitions for a contrite spirit is deep sorrow for sin growing out of love toward God. When an individual sees when they see their condition being lost, and when they see the love of Christ and the sacrifice that He's made for them, and the Spirit of the Lord speaking to their heart, it breaks their heart. Do you ever see anyone really broken up and really seeking the Lord? That's the one that touches the throne of God. You can't be like the Pharisee and say, "Well, I kind of messed up a little bit, Lord, and I'm sorry, won't you forgive me?" But when one becomes broken and contrite because of the love that they had for the Lord, and they recognize that I have failed the Lord, I grieved Him, I've hurt Him, I feel very strongly that the Lord responds to that prayer and meets the need. That also would not only apply to sin, but it also applies to needs in our life. If the Lord is faithful, and He is, to show us a need in our life, and we feel that we have come short, we ought to, through this relationship of love, be broken and contrite. The fact that the Lord has made all provisions, and yet I've come short or I've failed Him. It'd be somewhat like if you failed your parent, and you loved your parent dearly, and you really failed him. You'd be broken, wouldn't you? Be contrite. There'd be real sorrow. And that's the way it is with our relationship with the Lord tonight. If we're going to touch His throne, if we're going to reach Him. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. The publican, in the 15th chapter of St. Luke, the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he realized it was better at Father's house. And he went back with a contrite spirit. I believe that he went back with, I really feel like that he went back seeking the mercy of the Father. And the Scripture plainly shows us there where the Father yet had that love and concern and care for that son. And as the prodigal came before the Lord, he just humbled himself and says, "Make me as a servant. I'll be glad to be a servant. If I can just be in your home." The love that that father showed when he's a great way off, he ran and met him. And the forgiveness and how he restored him. But if you notice that there was a love on both halves. There was a love of the Father. The Son humbled Himself, didn't excuse Himself. He just simply came and said, "If I can just be a servant." And He was forgiven, and the Lord restored Him. Tonight, it will give you a real assurance. It'll strengthen your faith. It'll encourage your heart to look to the Lord in every need of your life if we establish a strong relationship of love. Get real close to the Lord and acknowledge Him. And I hope you don't think I'm out of my mind, but I like to audibly tell the Lord how much I appreciate Him and how I love Him. And as I sometimes am driving down the car, generally by myself, I'll lift up my heart and I begin to talk to Him just like I'm talking to you tonight. And I'll relate to Him how much I appreciate Him, how I love Him. Just commune with the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. Do you ever see greeting cards? Sometimes you ever get like greeting cards and it says in there something about how much I care. I never tell you, but how much I care. I don't buy those. And I feel like that we need to express ourselves. But I wonder tonight if it wouldn't be a good thing to express ourselves more to the Lord. Would it be our experience if we was going to send Him a card, would we have to get one of those and say, "Lord, You mean an awful lot to me, and I'm sorry I never tell You much." We need to be expressive to the Lord. "Lord, You're my life. You mean everything to me. I love You supremely with all my heart, soul, and mind," and maintain that relationship day by day in our life. And when the temptations come, when the trials come, the strength of that, the power of that relationship will enable you and I to rise above the temptation and rise above that thing that would try us and take away from our experience. We love Him tonight because He first loved us. Do you agree with me tonight? Do you feel like that maybe we don't, to the fullest extent, realize how much the Lord loves us? When you think about how patient He is with us, you know, how faithful He has been to us. You know, say you've been saved for a long time, that's wonderful. But all those years, through the Holy Spirit, He's been so faithful to correct us and to admonish us and to bless us and to guide us and to help us. So faithful. Doesn't that merit our love tonight? Oh, that we would love Him in a greater way. Love Him with all of our soul and our life. And don't go away from that experience. It is when we allow the temptations to take away from that love or that closeness. And the enemy knows that well, and he works hard to get us in an indifferent or a lukewarm or a careless condition, to just get us away from that experience, because that's really the only way that he'd be able to overtake us. And he knows that if you and I will be fervent and live close to the Lord and keep that love strong, that all the powers of hell and darkness and all the spirits that are in the world tonight and all the temptation to come our way would not be able to move us. You and I will be faithful and you and I will be true by the love that the Lord has designed for our life. In the 14th chapter of St. John, in the 23rd verse, Jesus said there that if we love Him, we'll what? Keep His commandments. The commandments that the Lord has given us. In the 23rd verse also, let's see here. Wrong place. Excuse me. Yes, that's proof of our love, isn't it? Should be love to my Father. 23rd verse said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, I believe that tonight. I believe the Lord does just what He says He will. And He says if we love Him, we'll keep His words. We'll keep His commandments. We'll have them working in our hearts, in our lives. Then I'd have to also conclude tonight that the better we keep His words and commandments, the more that we love Him. And we have to conclude tonight they're inseparable. You know, a person can't say, oh, I really love the Lord, but I'm not really too inclined to do this or to do that. Even though I realize that, you know, that you believe in it or you teach that, or maybe it is in the Bible, but it doesn't really appeal to me and I may not think it's all that important. But don't deny me that I can't love the Lord. Well, I'm not going to, but the Word of the Lord is. It's just that simple. We want in our lives, every one of us, to develop more and more a strong love for God's way and God's Word. Now sometimes it crosses the flesh, many times. The natural man, what your natural preference would be, and that, again, is where the temptation comes in. But if the Lord can help us to develop more and more a strong love for Him and a strong love for His Word, His way, His will, it's going to help us when the time of temptation comes. When we're being tested, we'll be able to submit ourselves and give our love to that which is right, and that which is God's will. The Lord takes it a little further in the 5th chapter of 1 John, and in the 3rd verse, He said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not painful. They're not oppressive. You know, the commandments of the Lord. The way that He teaches us to live. where to go, where not to go, how to adorn ourselves, and all the ways of the Lord, they're not grievous. And the reason they're not grievous is because of the love that we have for Him. And if that love is strong and remains strong, then whatever He reveals to us and leads us, it's not going to be grievous. It's not going to be hard. We're just going to yield ourselves to that. That's going to be a way of life. So the Lord has not told us tonight to live a certain way and do certain things without providing the strength, without providing the ability to fulfill that. And this is the strength, our love to God. Didn't it say in the Songs of Solomon that love is as strong as death? Strong. Love is strong. Love will enable us to actually die to ourselves and yield our lives unto the Lord because of the love that we have. I felt for some time about, and we hear it different times about how we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord, and how that we're called to sacrificial living, denying ourselves to fulfill the will and the purpose of the Lord. And I know tonight that all of us in sincerity certainly want that to be accomplished in our life. But I'm also convinced tonight the only way that it's going to be accomplished is through this love. The only way that we're actually going to experience being able to lay down our lives and to consecrate ourselves and to take up the cross and fill the place that the Lord wants us to do and say no to the flesh, even to maybe lawful things that are not expedient, that doesn't fit in God's plan for our life. The only way that we have the strength to do that is through our love. And if our love becomes less and less, we may have the desire, we may have the intent, but we'll never have the experience. And we'll never have it working in our life like God wants it to and like we want it to. But that comes through that strength in our love to God. And His love is not grievous. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the 12th verse, they're speaking about the times that we're living in today, the last days. And Jesus said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Now, this is something the Lord said, so it's going to be that way. But I'm glad He didn't say that they would all be that way. See, He said many. That it would wax cold in many. And it really hurts tonight sometimes when you see those that one time held a standard, one time had a fervency, and you see it somewhat diminished or not as strong as it one time was. And I say that with all respect. But the Bible says that because of iniquity, because of the wickedness, because of the condition of the world, and you know tonight, unless we're careful, whatever the condition of the world is can have somewhat of an influence on us. It really can. Things that 50 years ago was intolerable even in society, today are looked upon and smiled and approved. And there is also in the world, I've seen it in my lifetime, I'm not that old, of a rebellion against all authority. An outspoken spirit that is in the world. You know, the Bible teaches us to honor those in authority and believe that as Christians, we should honor those for the office sake, if nothing else. But in the world, you don't see very much of that. Respect and honor. That's the days in which we're living. Iniquity. And because iniquity abound, Jesus said, the love of many shall wax cold. I don't want that to be our experience. Regardless of what is without, may it be within stronger and stronger. There ought to be within us tonight a bond with the Lord and His words and His ways that increases and increases and is stronger in every one of our lives. And that will be our protection. That will enable us to be what God wants us to be as we live and walk before Him. You remember also in the second chapter of Revelation, the church at Ephesus, I believe it was, that they're doing some things right, but they said they had left their first love. That's sad. Left their first love. I don't want that to be our experience tonight, individually or as a congregation. But oh, that God would help us tonight to be real fervent in spirit. Fervent with a love and a trueness, a loyalty unto our God, to the one that loved us and saved us and brought us where we are tonight. The Lord has a purpose for every one of our lives tonight. He has a plan. He said, "Yea, Lord." I believe He said, "Feed my lambs." And again He asked Him, "Lovest thou me?" "Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." Third time. And did you know the Lord knew the answer all the time? I believe that He was emphasizing this because of how important it is. It was important to Peter, and it's important to you and me tonight. Do you really love the Lord? I'm going to tell you, the only way that you're going to accomplish what God has for your life, and what He does have for your life is important. It will be an effect on souls. It will be an effect on the work of the Lord. You may say, "Well, I'm not called a foreign mission. I don't even think I'm called to preach." But your life is having an effect. It has an influence. The Scripture says, "We are the lights of the world." You know, everyone that knows the Lord is the light of the world, has that influence. And you have it today. You know, if you're not living victorious, if you don't have the power in your life, that's having its influence. It has its effect on others. And tonight, if you and I are having the blessings of the Lord and the joy and the power of God in our life, that has its influence. And so we do tonight, as well as you're very precious and the Lord loves you very much. He has a place for you to live and to work. But you will not do it unless you love the Lord supremely. Even as He spoke to Peter, He said, "Now, Peter, there will come a time that you won't be able to do just like you did when you was young. You know, when you was young, you kind of went where you wanted to, did what you want. But when you get old, others will carry you away. And not to your own choosing." This He spoke concerning His death. And the Lord had a death for Peter. And I'm sure that conformed with his ministry and his life for the blessing and for the witness of the gospel. And it was all important that he loved the Lord. So it is tonight with each one of us. Wherever you are, whatever your life is, remember tonight that you only succeed as this relationship and this love is strong and fervent for God. And tonight, if you feel that you're not being as effective and not doing all that God would have you to do, I would encourage you to concentrate on this first. Someone say, "Well, you know, I feel like I could testify stronger. I want greater anointing in my testimony. I want to have greater ability and influence with people." I would encourage you just to concentrate on seeking the Lord. Yes. And seeking to love Him more. And make it a greater reality in your experience, in your life. And I think the Lord will take care of the rest. That's what we need today. In the 8th chapter of Romans, remember that, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" You know, tonight, I'm glad that nothing has to separate us. I think we have to be honest. There has been some things that have separated some people. The apostle, he listed a lot of things here: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Did you know tonight that all of us are going to face a certain amount of persecution? All of us are going to have our temptations. Are they going to separate us from the love of Christ? Are they going to take away from our victory or our experience or the power or the peace or the grace in our heart and life? They don't have to. Regardless of how severe the trial is or how great the temptation is, God does have that relationship of love and experience. Didn't the apostle say one time, none of these things move me? Talking about bonds and afflictions that abide in every city. And the Spirit of the Lord had witnessed to him that he was going to suffer for his name's sake. But he said, none of these things move me. You know, I'm on course. I'm here to accomplish the will of God, the purpose of God, and I'm doing it in a victorious way. Galatians 2 and 20, he says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm convinced tonight that the Apostle Paul had an experience of a personal relationship of love with the Lord. I believe it was very real to him. It was very personal to him. And when he suffered, when he met his trials and his tests, he was able to know, I'm doing this for Jesus' sake. He's the lover of my life. And what else really matters? The Lord wants to bring us to that. Whatever he permits to happen in our life, whatever the test is or the trial is, if the Lord is blessed, if I'm able to confirm the gospel in my decision in my life and manifest thy love, that's all that's really important. But we can't do that just with a decision or desire or just with the knowledge of the truth. We can't do that just with that. But we must have this personal relationship of love with God and love Him supremely. The apostle said, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Through whom? Through Him that loved us. Notice again, he says, that loved us. It was real with the apostle. You know, he was conscious of it. Jesus loved me.
Amen.
He really loved me. And because he loved me, I love him. See? I'm able to respond to that love. And I'm willing to suffer anything. And whatever he permits to come to pass in my life, I'll maintain the victory. I'll have the peace and the joy. And none of these things are going to discourage me. And none of these things are going to move me away from that relationship with God. It's just going to bring me closer and closer to Him. See? He says, we're more than conquerors. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, heights, depths, creatures, shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Tonight, don't let anything separate you from that love.
Amen.
No temptation, none of your trials, anything that would somewhat appeal or seek to take away from that closeness and that love and that relationship, don't yield. Don't give it any thought or any consideration. Set our hearts with a love for God and let nothing separate it. In closing, I want to read in 1 John again, in the 4th chapter, I'll read the 16th and 17th verse. And here we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. See, that is the perfection. Acknowledging and understanding how much the Lord loves us and responding with all of our love. It says that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. It is a wonderful thing tonight to have boldness or to have an assurance in the day of judgment. To be able to enter right into the presence of the Lord and into the judgment that He has for all, and to go into that with an assurance, without any fear, with real peace, with anticipation. You know, feel like this is a time the Lord wants to call me from this world. And I'm anticipating, I'm looking forward to it. He is the one I've set my love on, and my love has been true. My love has been faithful. And I know that He's loved me. And that complete or perfected love actually gives us the boldness, or gives us the assurance, to be able to leave this old body and to go into the presence of the Lord. May the Lord encourage all of us tonight and help us with real jealousy to guard our love. And to love the Lord supremely is our prayer.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, this is the key. I want to go to heaven and want God to work in our life. Work on our love for the Lord. Psalm number 272. I stand. Someone needs to pray tonight. How did you measure up the message tonight? You see some places that maybe there's been a little bit too much crowding in, crowding our love for the Lord.
Find joy forever. of a scripture in St. John, I believe it's the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Maybe he said, lay down his life for the sheep. And he says, therefore, as my Father loved me. I thought of just thinking of Jesus and his Father, God. I thought of how that the Lord God and the Father understood what Jesus, the responsibility that he had taken to give his life for the world, for sinners, and for you and for me. And it says, therefore does my Father love me. I thought about how that, thinking of the love of God, as Brother Elwell was talking tonight, when the Lord chooses a path for us, and it's a cross there, and we're willing to bear that cross, well, God's love just follows right along with it. It just follows and supplies that. So that's what makes the, keeping His commandments not grievous, because God's love just follows there and makes it easy. I thank the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord.
I sure appreciated the message too. So much of it to me is so very, very vital. I got a thought when Brother Chuck was mentioning his relationship to God and driving down the road and talking to the Lord. I wonder, and I'm made to believe, that where our minds are and our hearts are is where our affections are most of the time.
Yes.
And that's a challenge to me, you know,
yes,
where the scriptures are telling us what God doesn't approve of. Most always there's a positive of what He does approve of.
Yes.
Yes. Paul, where he said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, God, which you're reading for service, and you're going to say, by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you be thinking about God and what He's done for you and what He's done for us, and what He wants to do for others. I really got a blessing out of this.
Amen.
Again,
Lord,
this message is a challenge.
Yes,
yes. Amen.
Yes, help us, Lord. It says, because iniquity's abounding, our love is being challenged. Every one of our loves is being challenged. Because of iniquity in the world today, we need to take heed to what we heard. Our love is being challenged because of iniquity.
The Bible says the love of Christ constraineth us. I thought about a magnet. I thought about the scripture that says, Brother Chuck read about, hereby we perceive the love of God. I thought about how a magnet is an object that will draw metal to it, iron. And the closer we get to that metal, the closer it draws us, or draws the iron, excuse me. The closer the two objects get together, the faster they are propelled to one another. Hereby we perceive the love of God, as Brother Chuck so graciously was blessed of the Lord and was able to tell us these things tonight. As we perceive that love of God, as we draw closer to it, it said the love of Christ just constrains us.
Yes,
it just
the Lord.
Just draws us even more closely to
it. The Lord.
Tonight, we just love the Lord, and I hope all of us do. I think we got a lot better picture of what it really means to love God and for Him to love us, and how when we sort through all the teachings of the Bible, it comes down to, do we love Him? You know, we keep His commandments because we love Him. And the love of Christ, the love of God, is a strong force to those who will
desire
that. Thank God for this good thought tonight.
That His commandments were not grievous.
No, we're drawn to it. It's a great thing.
I have trouble with people that, oh, it's such a hard way. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what we heard tonight. If we love the Lord, it's not a hard way. Its commandments are not grievous. It's the joy of our heart. It's the motive of our life. It's what we live for. It's what we want to do. How can something be grievous and hard and a cross when it's what we love to do? It's the joy of our life. His commandments are not grievous because of our love for Him, because of His love for us. It makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.